Okay. What we discussed yesterday is the machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah in Se'if Dalet relating to whether there is bishul achar bishul by a dovar lach. And we pointed out that the Mechaber assumes that by dovar lach there is bishul achar bishul, and the Ramah in Se'if Tesvav kind of hems and haws. The Ramah quotes the opinion that there's no bishul achar bishul at all by dovar lach, and then the Ramah writes that the minig is lahakel unless it is nitztanein legamrei, unless it completely cooled off. So just to add one marimukum to this conversation, you know, according to the Mechaber, if you have a dovar lach and it, we will say that yesh bishul achar bishul by dovar lach. But at what temperature does the dovar lach have to be in order to permit reheating it according to the Mechaber? Meaning, it's a dovar pashut, it's obvious that for that there's some temperature. At some point, you're allowed to reheat the items. It's got to be like that. Well, what is that point according to the Mechaber? So we noted yesterday that the Mishnah Brura says that that point is if it's above Yad Soled Espo. That even according to the Mechaber, that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal by Dovar Lach, but if it's above Yad Soled Espo, it's going to be permitted to reheat it. This is found in the Mishnah Brura, I believe, Se'if Katan Chaf Dalet. But it's also Mavuar in the Mechaber in Se'if Vav. Because in the Mechaber in Se'if Vav, the Mechaber talks about Keli sheyesh bo davar cham shehayad soled espo, it's mutar lahanicho b'shabes hagabi kedei rehatemuna kedei sheyesh machumo. Meaning, the Mechaber says b'feirish, you have a keli, which is yad soled espo, so you're allowed to leave it on a pot. In other words, I'm not worried about the bishul on this item because it is yad soled espo. The only ha'ara that we had is that because there are various definitions as to, or various temperatures that are shayach for what is considered yad soled espo and what's not yad soled espo, so it's reasonable that for this din, since we're dealing with dinim d'oraisa, it's reasonable that we should use the higher temperature of yad soled espo, let's say 171 Fahrenheit, 179 Fahrenheit, 160 Fahrenheit, according to one line in Igris Moshe. And according to the Mechaber, you're only allowed to reheat a dovar lach if it remains at that higher temperature of Yad Soled Espo. One of the fellows sent me a question over WhatsApp. I think Natana, was that you that sent me a WhatsApp question about like reheating, according to the Mechaber, like what was the question exactly? If you have, have to dig up your question. The private chat. Right, you sent a question. Is that correct? You sent it on the private chat, I believe? Maybe that's why I'm not finding it? Okay. I mean, Bekitzer HaMa'aseh, what I'm trying to argue is, here, you sent to the group chat, if the pump pot was on its way to 212, and soon after Shabbos began, you remove some water, is that a problem of Bishul? Right? So, the basic answer is, that's the question of going from Yad Soledes to Mala Resicha. According to the Beis Yosef, that is going to be fine, but according to others, that's not going to be okay. You said, on the one hand, it was on its way, but, on the other hand, you're being Makariv Bishul. So we assume that being Makariv Bishul is really a problem. The only svara to be made, right? We pointed, oh, if it won't reach to, right. Yeah, so my understanding is that that doesn't impact the conversation. In other words, I look at right now, right now it has not yet reached 212, so I'm not allowed. Basically, what emerges over here is that according to the Magen Avraham, there is an Isser d'oraisa to reheat a davarlach shenitztanein. So how come the Ramah permits reheating a davarlach shenitztanein if it's not nitztanein legamre? So you have to jump on your head and spit wood and nickels and say a hoshtikol taira, that the Magen Avraham really holds that the Isser to reheat a davar lach shenitztanein is because the bishul went away. But kolzman, it's lo nitztanein legamre. Kolzman, it didn't completely, totally, thoroughly cool down. So then the bishul did not go away. And if the bishul did not go away, it's going to be mutter to reheat it. Okay, let's chazer. The pashtus is that the Ramah holds, the pashtus being what the Prima Godim says, or what Moshe Feinstein says, what the Chazanish says, that the Ramah fundamentally holds that ein bishul achar bishul by davar lach. But the Magen Avraham, in Se'if Katin Lamed Zayin, the Magen Avraham says, you know what? Maybe the Ramah fundamentally holds yesh bishul achar bishul by davar lach, and the only reason he is meikol, if it's not nitztanein legamre, is because the chimum didn't go away, and therefore you're not doing any new sort of bishul. That's really what emerges from this Magen Avraham. Now, Gabe Isaacs had a question before, so let me take Gabe's question, and then I'll continue. Yeah, Gabe. Yeah, so apparently a Dover Yavesh, the bishul is still Nikar afterwards. Especially if you take the approaches that we said beforehand. Like, a piece of cold schnitzel looks like schnitzel, no? It doesn't look like raw chicken. So there's no maris ayin in that case. However, water, right? There's no real difference in appearance between hot water and cold water when it's in a cup. And therefore, there's going to be maris ayin on a davar lach, shenitztanein, but there's no maris ayin on the davar yavesh. I think that's the approach that the Prima Godim is taking, and the Chazon Ish takes, and Judaism is great. And again, I think this is Pashut Psha in Yiddishkeit. Pashut Psha in Yiddishkeit is like this Prima Godim and Reb Moshe, but the Magen Avraham has a different approach. Good? Now, I should add that there is another approach conceptually to the kula of the Ramah. Again, so far I have two opposite approaches. Either the Ramah really holds that ein bishul achar bishul by a davar lach, or the Ramah really holds yesh bishul achar bishul by a davar lach, but if it's not nitztanein legamre, so the bishul somehow remains. The Eglei Tal, however, has a different approach. We spoke about the Eglei Tal yesterday, who he was. He was kind of awesome and cool. So the Eglei Tal, this is in Se'if Katin Yud Daled, but then you have to look in the Hashmatos in the back of Se'if Katin Yud Daled, and he references this idea as well in Se'if Katin Nun Hei Os Hei. But the Eglei Tal says, fundamentally, he holds that yesh bishul achar bishul by davar lach, even according to the Ramah. The only thing is that we have a machlokes haposkim, a machlokes harishonim. We reference this in the Bir Halacha in Se'if Dalet, as to whether there is yesh bishul achar bishul by something that was cooked kemacho ben derusoi, and now I'm cooking it all the way. I'm going from macho ben derusoi all the way to mevushal kol tzarko. So there was a machlokes haposkim as to whether we say Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol to go from Macho Ben Shrusoi to Mevushol Kotzarko, or, right, alternatively, do I say that it's not really considered Mevushol when it is only Macho Ben Shrusoi, and you're really in violation of Bishol when you move it up to Mevushol Kotzarko? Well, comes along the Egletal, and the Egletal says, maybe we are relying in a Bidi Eved situation on those poskim that once the food is Maicho Ben Shrusoi, you're allowed to reheat it. The pshat is not that we really hold that Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by Davar Lach. Fundamentally, we hold Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol by Davar Lach, but fundamentally, we hold that when food is Maicho Ben Shrusoi, you're allowed to heat it to become Mevushol Kotzarko. It's a different approach to the Ramah. It's a different approach to the Ramah. Now, there might be some nafgaminas between these various approaches. Va'afareshet sichati. Yoni, you have a comment? So, okay, there's the quicker version of the Egletal and the shorter version of the Egletal. Let me say the Egletal now, the less quick version, because you're asking a question. Basically, the short version of Egletal is that we rely on those shitos that when something is cooked kemaicho ben shrusoi, you're allowed to heat it up to become a mevushol kotzarko. It's not that fundamentally we hold that ein bishol achar bishol by davar lach. We hold yesh bishol achar bishol by davar lach. But when it cools down and now it is at some temperature that we will call maicho ben shrusoi, you're allowed to heat it up to become hotter. Now, Mr. Hurwitz, so the Magen Avram would say that even if it cools down to a lower temperature, as long as the bishul is somewhat nikar, it is going to be okay. But, wait, I'll try to explain this second. But according to the Egletal, I can only be mekel when it is Maicho Ben Shrusoi. Now, I don't know exactly what the numbers are, and we kind of were playing some games in terms of the differences of temperature based on cooking water to eat, to drink it, and cooking water to bathe in it, right? We were discussing that. But it's entirely possible that for the Magen Avram, even though it dips beneath Yad Soledespo, it's going to be Heter Gomer as long as the Bishul is Nikar. The Egletal might agree with that also, but the Egletal would say that, you know what? It doesn't have to be, or it has to be more than the Bishul is Nikar. It has to be that it's Nikar, that this item is an item that's Cham. Some of the Achronim use this discussion. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe in his Shulchan Aruch, Se'if Tes, writes that we only permit reheating water, according to the Ramah, if there are some people in the planet who will consider this water to be chamin. If no one would treat the water like chamin, again, I don't know how you figure this out. You have to take a survey. Remember the old game Family Feud? Like 1,000 people survey, top answers on the board, right? So I'm not exactly sure how you figure this out. But the Alter Rebbe would say that it's only considered lo nitztanin legamre if some people would drink it and they would still say it's cham. But if there is not a single person on the planet who would drink this water and say it's considered cham, so that is called nitztanin legamre according to the Alter Rebbe. According to our Mahalach and the Magen Avram, however, it could be that only called Nitztanin Legamre if the liquid is at room temperature. As long as there is any chamimus nikar, right? If I take a drink and I say, you know what, it's not chamin at all. No one would say it's chamin. No one in the planet would say this is hot. No one in the planet would say this is warm. But it's still not yet room temperature. So that might be permitted according to our understanding of the Magen Avraham. Right? Basically, there is a huge nafgamina between these understandings. Obviously, according to the Prima Godim and the Chazon Ish, etc., we have to analyze whether there's going to be some Maris Ayin at that tiny area when it's slightly above room temperature, but no one would consider it Chamin, right? Whether there would be some sort of Maris Ayin, I have no idea how to figure that one out. But at least between the Eglei Tal and the Magen Avraham, who are both saying that according to the Ramah, fundamentally, Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol, I'll be with you in a second, Aryeh, right? At least according to them, we have a nafgamina in terms of what the shear of Bishol is. This is the way Rav Rimon presents it in his Sefer. On page 254, Rav Rimon presents it this way, and I think it is conceptually pretty good. However, and I'll get to you in 1 second, Aryeh, however, even though it's conceptually pretty good, it does not work according to the Rav Moshe Feinstein. Because Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the Tshuva, Chelek Dalet, Semen Ayin Dalet, Os Beis, Rav Moshe holds that fundamentally we hold Ein Bishol Achar Bishol by a Dover Lach. And it's just a Maris Ayin din. And therefore, one would argue, if it's just a Maris Ayin din, so a low temperature is enough to be motiyat from Maris Ayin. I didn't say this 1,000,000% a minute ago. But a low temperature would also say it's not Maris Ayin. Nonetheless, Rav Moshe says that you have to have a higher temperature. He says, I don't understand at all this idea that there's a difference between whether most people would drink it and consider it Chamin, or everyone would drink and consider it Chamin. It has to be that everyone would drink and consider it Chamin to some extent. So Rav Moshe, despite the fact he assumes that's really a Maris Ayin issue, still works with a much higher shear than I would have said. Rav Moshe's shear is actually higher than the Alter Rebbe's shear. And that, I don't understand how that can be. But, okay. Mr. Margolin, how are you? I mean, we weren't sure what exactly the Michael Ben Shusai would be by Dover Lach, but the Pashtus is, the Achronim assume that there is a din of Michael Ben Shusai by Dover Lach. I think Yoni Zolti questioned who said so, but all the Achronim make that assumption. Yeah, we're just not exactly sure what that temperature would be, correct. So again, in Alter Rebbe speak, I think my full Maichel Ben Shusai would be that everyone drinks it and considers it Chamin. Lo Nitztanin Legamre means that some people drink it and consider it Chamin. Right? That's the way the Alter Rebbe has it. And the Eglei Tal seems to endorse that approach. There's a difference between everybody and some people. I think so. Again, but that's the difference between solid and liquid. In other words, according to what we're saying, everybody holds that by a liquid, the status of bishul can go away. It's entirely possible it can only go away on the level of Dirabbanan. It can't go away on the level of Doraisa, but everybody holds that the status of bishul can evaporate, pardon the expression, when we're talking about a liquid. That's right. Okay, so now what we have is a machlokes between the Egle Tal and the Magen Avraham on the one hand, and the Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Prima Godem, etc. Within the Mishneh Brura, it is not clear what he holds. It's not clear what he holds. One second, let me just... I left my Mishneh Brura too far away in the table. But in the Mishneh Brura in Shin Yudches Os Sadi Tes, the Mishneh Brura sounds like he says Bidas Harama that Me Ikar Hadin, there is Ein Bishol Achar Bishol Bayadavar Lach. That's what the Mishneh Brura writes in Simin Shin Yudches Os Sadi Tes. However, in Simin Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Hei, where we had the Magen Avraham, if you remember, the Magen Avraham who said that there's an Isser de Oraisa, according to the Ramah, to reheat water that was heated once and then cooled down. And therefore, the din in Shulchan Aruch, that you're not allowed to tell a guy to reheat the water, that din therefore applies even though the fire was on beforehand. The Mishneh Brura there, in Oz, Sadi Dalet, Sadi Hey, etc., is saying, the Magen Avraham. The Mishneh Brura over there, he doesn't use the word that it's the Oraisa, but the Maskana of the Magen Avraham, that we have to reinterpret the Ramah in Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Hey, the Maskana of that Magen Avraham is clearly in the Mishneh Brura. And I'll say even better. Look in Simen Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Dalet. Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Dalet, the din that we mentioned yesterday, we have machlokas between the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran. Remember this? Machlokas in the Ran of Dafchav Beis Hamlach B'dapei Arif. We had a machlokas, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran. Rabbeinu Yonah assumes that there is Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol Bayadavar Lach. And there's another explanation of the Rabbeinu Yonah as well that we didn't go into. But the Mechaber writes, Reish Nun Gimel Sif Dalet, Yesh Limchos Biyar HaNohagen Lahatmin Mibo'od Yom Kumkim Shamayim Chamin V'nosim Osam Letocha Kedera V'Shabes Kishatav Shom Mitztamek. You should protest. Right? In other words, the people who want to take hot water and put it into food, you should protest. And the reason to protest is because Rabbeinu Yonah holds that Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol by Davar Lach. That's within the Mechaber. The Ramah writes, look at what I wrote in Shin Yud Ches, which really means, L'cha'ora, right? When the Ramah says, look at what I wrote, so the Ramah is giving you instructions, and you're supposed to listen to his instructions, and he says, look at what I wrote. So in Shin Yud Ches, the Ramah says, if it's not Nutzdanin Legamrei, it's okay. Now, the Mishneh Brura, I would think he would just say, oh, that according to the Ramah, it's Heter Gomor. Because if it's not Nitztanein Legamrei, there's no problem. But the Mishneh Brura doesn't say that. The Mishneh Brura writes that Ayin and Shin Yud Ches, etc., where the Ramah gives his pshat, and Af She'en Limchos B'yad HaNohagen LaHakel, Tov Linhog Shelo La'aros Haroschem in Kli Rishon LeKa'ara, Ki'im Bekaf, etc., right? How he got to that approach of the spoon requires also a little bit of a creative reading of the Magen Avraham. But the Mishneh Brura Se'if Katan Pei Dalet, where he's giving the halacha lemaisa, both for Ashkenazim and for Sfaradim, basically says, avoid it. He says, avoid it. Now, Benny Brown has a famous article that he calls Soft Stringency in the Mishneh Brura. That the Mishneh Brura is very frum. He's very machmir. This is what Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin has in his tshuva, is that his grandfather, Rav Henkin, used to paskin like the Ar HaShulchan more than the Mishnah Brura, because the Ar HaShulchan as a community, Rav, didn't have the opportunity to just say, be machmir, but the Mishnah Brura, as a Rosh Yeshiva, always encourages what's called soft stringency to encourage people to be machmir. The Mishnah Berurah in Se'if Katan Pei Dalet is encouraging people halacha l'maisa to be machmir, meaning even though the Ramah says that the minig is that we are mekel unless it's nitzanin legamrei, nonetheless you should be machmir. We don't see that in Se'if Katan Sadi Tes of Simin Shin Yud Ches. Over there, the Mishnah Berurah just writes, you know what, may Iker Hadin, we follow those shitos that ain't Bishalach HaBishal by Dover Lach. But in Simin Reish Nun Gimel, Os Pei Dalet, or whatever it is, so the Mishnah Berurah over there says, hold it, I'm not so sure, look at the Magen Avram, and therefore you should be Machmir. What do you mean, look at the Magen Avram? The Magen Avram is exactly the opposite of what the Mishnah Berurah paskin like in Shin Yud Ches Se'if Katan Sadi Tes. Right, the Mishnah Berurah is paskining like in Shin Yud Ches, he's paskining like the standard approach, like the Prima Godim and the Chazonish and Rav Moshe Feinstein, that fundamentally the Ramah holds ain't Bishalach HaBishal by Dover Lach. But in Reish Nun Gimel, he says, look at the Magen Avram and you should be Machmir. So there is a miktsas stira in the Mishnah Berurah. I don't think it's a complete stira, because like we said, it's a soft stringency, but there is a bit of a contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah on this point. Again, my understanding of how Mishnah Berurah works is Mishnah Berurah is not necessarily paskening every shaila for us, but Mishnah Berurah is supposed to be a digest, and he quotes all the different shitos. So it doesn't bother me if there's such a contradiction, because over there he's quoting this shita, over here he's quoting that shita. Rav Schechter in his tshuva about coronavirus number 14 quotes from the Chafetz Chaim's grandson in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim that there are different authors of the Mishnah Berurah, and therefore you can't have any stiras in the Mishnah Berurah. I'll talk about this more as we go on. But Rav Schechter fundamentally holds there is no such thing as a stira in the Mishnah Berurah, because we have something called the documentary hypothesis on the Mishnah Berurah, which means different authors ad kan the what Rav Schechter says. Again, you have to look carefully in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, because his son tells you which parts are written by himself, by the son himself, which parts are written by the Chafetz Chaim. In Hilchos Shabbos, there's a split. Some simanim this way, some simanim that way. You have to check in that biography carefully to see if this works out. Okay. Let's just talk very briefly about some nafgaminas between these two approaches bigadol. Again, what we have are two bigadol approaches within the Ramah. Either fundamentally ein bishalach bishal by lach, or fundamentally yesh bishalach harbishol by lach. But within the fundamental yesh bishalach harbishol approach, we had two separate mahalchem, which might lead to a nafgamina in the particular shi'ur that I use for what's called nitztanin legamrei. That is the broad overview of what we've done beforehand. Nafgaminas over here might be as follows. Again, there's the easy nafkamina of Amir al-Nohri that we spoke about. There is, in the Mishnah Berurah Dirshu edition, footnote 106. So he points out the question of the small drops in the cup. If you fundamentally hold that Ein Bishalach HaBishal by Dover Lach, so then those couple of drops in the cup, if they are drops of water that was heated, if it's residual water from my first cup of tea, so then I am allowed to pour hot water on top of those residual drops from my first cup of tea. Because fundamentally, ein bishalach habishal by davar lach. He quotes that there was a great Goyin and Tzaddik, somebody of Atvusk, who was machmir to dry out his glasses of tea between cup one and cup two, but he says, that guy was very frum, right? No one else ever said that, so therefore, he's not so into the need to do that. You don't have to dry out your cup between cup one and cup two. And Igris Moshe, at the end of Siman Tzadi Gimel of Chelek Aleph, also says, you don't have to dry out your cup between cup of T1 and cup of T2, because, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, fundamentally, ein b'shalach ha-bishal b'davar lach. However, if I hold like the Egle Tal, or like the Magen Avraham, that fundamentally, yesh b'shalach ha-bishal b'davar lach, so l'cha'ora, it should be usur to make a second cup of tea when there are some residual drops from my first cup of tea. That should be the din, and I think that's reasonable. Another approach, or another nafgamina over here, if you look in the tshuvas of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Chelek Beis, Simin Lamed Dalet, Oskof Gimel. Now when I say the simonim in Mincha Shlomo, I'm talking about the Mincha Shlomo I have here at home, which is the red edition of the Mincha Shlomo. In the Beis Medrash of YU, we used to have a Beis Medrash in YU. It used to be open, used to be able to learn Torah there. But in the Beis Medrash of YU, they have the black edition of the Mincha Shlomo, and the simonim in the black edition are different than the simonim in the red edition. So I don't know what this is in the black edition. I'm just telling you my red edition that I have at home. It's Chelek Beis, Simin Lamed Daled, Os Chof Gimel, where there's a discussion about the tiny bit of water that might be in the measuring area on the side of my urn. Some of the older urns had a tiny little glass tube, and there is water that was on the side of it that would tell me how much water remains in the urn. Now, in the older editions of these urns, there was some insulation between that glass pipe and the urn itself. And therefore, it's possible that although the water was mala resicha at one point, but it really cooled down, and now it is nitanein legamrei. Rav Shlomo Zalman himself says that I asked my urn experts, and they tested the water, and they said it's not nitanein legamrei when it's in that tube. My chavrusa for a couple of years in YU was Rabbi Josh Flood. You guys know him. He like does a lot of the YU tourist stuff down in Florida. So Josh Flug spent time trying to figure out also whether there is an indicator in the pump pots. So he bought a pump pot and took it apart to try to figure out whether there's any insulation between the indicator tube in the pump pot and the actual pump pot itself. Rav Shlomo Zalman is talking about the urns. But in that tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman, he basically says, listen, Me'ikar hadin we hold ein b'shalach ha-bishal b'davar lach. It's only a din amaris ayin, like the Prima Godem said. And therefore, people don't even consider this to be a problem. No one notices, no one thinks about the amount of water that goes from that indicator pipe back into the urn and gets cooked up again. So therefore, he thinks it's fine. It's a psik reisha. Well, it's a psik reisha on an iser d'rabbanan, because fundamentally we hold ein bishal achar bishal by davar lach, and we have to discuss psikreish on the din d'rabbanan at a different time. But there is room to be mekel. Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Aruch that psikreishes on d'rabbanan are okay, and therefore that, combined with the fact that it's a tiny little bit of water, therefore Shlomo Zalman feels that even if his experts are not correct regarding the temperature of the water inside that tube, Nonetheless, there is room to be makel. Now, what about, though, if I have a glass, and my glass was a little bit dirty, so I wash it out with cold water. Am I allowed to put hot water into that glass? So, what would you say, gentlemen?
Abba, it's 11:13.
I'd say it's absolutely usur, no? Because you're heating up water that was never cooked beforehand. The only kula we had was if you hold that ein bishol achar bishol by a davar lach, meaning a davar lach that was once cooked and cooled down. But if I have cold water that was never cooked, so should mamish be usser? And there's a whole discussion in the Shuvas of Reb Hirsch Pesach Frank and others that maybe if you don't dry out your glass from the rinsing it out, and then you put hot water in it, ken zayin that is that you cannot use the tea that you make with it, because those tiny drops of water might be a davar sheyesh lo matirin, which in Yerideya we paskin is not bottle. Meaning, since the tiny drops of water can, you could wait until after Shabbos to drink it. So therefore, why get involved in the shayla now? Davar sheyesh lo matirin, and it could be it's not going to be bottle. And if you have the cold drops of water in the cup, ken zayin that it's you violated an iser de oraisa of bishul. And not only did I violate an iser de oraisa of bishul, maybe I just trafed up my entire cup of tea. That is a big discussion. So some say no, it's not a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Davar sheyesh lo matirin is if you could have it. Matzei Shabbos the same as it is now. By Matzei Shabbos, the tea is going to be cool, so it's not going to help. Okay, those are like details within the rules of davar sheyesh lo matirin. But the pashtus is you violate an iser d'oraisa. That's the pashtus. However, the Shvisas HaShabbos is very creative. Very creative. So he has the following idea, which involves some analysis of the rules of Psik Resha. Remember, a couple minutes ago, we spoke about how the Oruch permits a Psik Resha Delo Nicholai. If it's a Psik Resha that you get no benefit from, Psik Resha Delo Nicholai is going to be Mutter, according to the Oruch. Certainly, if it's a Psik Resha Delo Nicholai on the Drabbanon, some say it's going to be heter gomer. Rabbi Willig paskins that way, actually. The psik resha de lo nicholai and iser de rabbanon is going to be mutter. Comes along the Shvisas HaShabbos, and he says, you know what? We have a rule in halacha called safek psik resha. Safek psik resha, I remember the first time I heard this, I was listening to a shiur by Rabbi Yonason Sachs when he used to be a rebbe in YU. And he pointed out, like, safek psik resha sounds like a contradiction inherently. Psik resha means I do action A, action B is inevitable. Suffic means I have some doubt. How can you have a suffic psik resha? So suffic psik resha might mean that I'm not sure what the I'm not sure about the previous element. A suffic psik resha is a suffic lisha of it, as opposed to a classic psik resha, which is a davar lahaba. Classic psik resha means I do X, and as a result of X, Y will happen. Safek psik resha is, I do X, Y will happen if there was something that happened beforehand. I open the door to my refrigerator. If I unscrewed the light bulb, so then I'm okay. If I didn't unscrew the light bulb, so I violated an iser of turning on the light on Shabbos. That's called a suffic psik resha. Comes along the Shvisas HaShabbos, and he says, you know what? It's for sure going to be mutter if there is cooked drops on the bottom of the cup. Because even if you hold, like the Magen Avraham, that there's an iser d'oraisa on Bishol achar bishol by a davar lach. But I'm not 1,000,000% convinced that the Magen Avraham is right. So it's a suffik, is the Magen Avraham right? And if it's a suffik, it's a suffik l'sha avar. It's a suffik in the halacha. Right? The halacha happened a long time ago. Suffik l'sha avar is going to be mutter. Because it's a suffik psik resha. I have no kavana to cook those drops. Suffik psik resha is mutter. Because maybe the halacha was like, because maybe the halacha was that davar lach she nisbashel, we say ein bishal achar bishal. And then he says, well, maybe even if the water was never cooked beforehand, I could be makon. Because it's a suffix psikresha in the sense of maybe I hold, like the aruch, that psikresha delo nichalei is mutter. You hear this one? This, by the way, this would be the biggest kula in Judaism, gentlemen. Because if you hold of this idea, then you could be make on every single shayla on Hilchah Shabbos ever. Right? This is unbelievable. Let me just say it over again, Yoni, before you ask a question on it. But the idea of the Shvisas HaShabbos is that, you know what? There are some Rishonim, major Rishonim. Rumor has it that Reb Simcha Zelig of Brisk Paskin this way, that a Psik Resha Delo Nichalei is Heter Gomor. If you don't benefit from the Psik Resha, it's okay. Tiny drops of water in the bottom of the cup, you're not benefiting from it. You don't have Kavana to cook it. So therefore, it's a Psik Resha. But it's not a full Psik Resha. It's really a Suffolk Psik Resha. Because it's only a Psik Resha that's going to be Usser, assuming Psik Resha Delo Nichalei is Usser. Since I don't really necessarily know that Psik Resha Delo Nichalei is Usser, because maybe the Aruch is correct, hello, the Aruch makes it to Shulchan Aruch at the end of Simin Shin Chaf, it's not a Shita that is completely unheard of. So therefore, it's a Suffolk Psik Resha, and you could be Mekel even on the drops at the bottom of your cup, even if it is from water that was never cooked beforehand. Wow. Deep breath. It's extremely creative. Yoni Zolti, what do you have to say? No way! It's wild! Right? In other words, right? In general halacha, we assume that there's a difference between questions of mitzias and questions of din. The famous Placey, that's quoted by the Shach in his Sefer Tukfo Kohen, says that chazaka is only a relevant concept when the issue at hand is a shayla in mitzias. But ba'avur ha-chazaka us lo yishtana hadin. No? Chazaka is an irrelevant concept when the issue at hand is a halachic issue. So the Shvisas HaShabbos is extremely creative in applying a halachic suffix, which, by the way, is it really a suffix? It says in Shulchan Aruch, you really should not rely on this aruch, but it makes it to the book. So maybe we can rely on that aruch, and maybe it's a subsecretia. That's invoking a suffix in din, and that's already really interesting. Very, very creative. Sometimes when you use the words creative, it's another way of saying, like, it's so mechudash that, like, you can't accept it. But, okay, ad kan. Netano, how are you? Yes. That's what I was saying. This would be the biggest kula. You could be making every single question in Yiddishkeit based on that din in the Shvisas HaShabbos. It's really wild. Really wild. Okay. Now, once we're discussing Lach versus Yavesh, it's worth having some brief conversations about what is considered lach, what's considered yavesh. So I don't know about you, but I went to elementary school. And in elementary school, they told me that there's a difference between the liquid and the solid, in that a liquid takes on the shape of its container, but a solid doesn't. Nachon? Remember this? Isn't this like what they taught us in elementary school? If that's the case, so then we gotta figure out what's the status of certain items like ketchup. There's a whole discussion about ketchup in the Igris Moshe there in Chelek Dalet, Simin Ayin Dalet. I believe this is Os Hey. So he says, you know what? He thinks maybe ketchup is considered a Dover Lach. He's willing to be make on putting ketchup on top of a potato, because a hot potato is a Dover Gush, and there's some question that we'll discuss as to whether Dover Gush is Mevashel. But he's nervous that maybe ketchup is called a Dover Lach. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kelchos. I think I gave you the Mar Mokom on the source sheets. Reb Shlomo Zalman says, come on, catch up. Catch up is a davar yavesh. Now, in one of the Svarim, I think in the Orchos Shabbos, they point out that maybe there's a difference between different types of ketchup. But it seems to me that goes in the opposite direction. Again, Reb Moshe says ketchup is more likely to be lach. Reb Shlomo Zalman says it's more likely to be yavesh. My understanding is that Israeli ketchup is much less solid. It's much less viscous than American ketchup. Now, Heinz ketchup is taka. Will it take on the shape of the container? I think you put Heinz ketchup on the plate, and it'll just stay whatever shape it was squeezed into for a while, no? But some of the Israeli ketchups are actually much more dalul. So the argument that maybe Reb Moshe and Reb Shlomo Zalman are talking about different types of ketchups, it seems to me to go in opposite direction, because some stomach of Reb Moshe is talking about Heinz ketchup, because what other type of ketchup would you have in America? In Israel, l'da'avoneinu, you know, you have to eat the other type of ketchup. Okay, fine. But on a more fundamental level, though, Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying that the question of lach and yavesh is not really based on the question as to whether it takes on the shape of the container, but rather it's based more on the question of whether the cooking will evaporate, whether the cooking will go away. These are the svaras that we mentioned yesterday. Schnitzel that is cooked remains schnitzel. A cold piece of schnitzel is still food. Water that was cooked, all the bishul went away. It's gone. Ketchup that's cooked, to make the ketchup, you cook the tomatoes with the water, you make it into ketchup. Ketchup that's cooked, even after it cools down, the cooking remains in the ketchup. So l'cha'ora, the ketchup should not be treated like a davar lach, because the definition of lach versus yavesh is not really about whether it accepts the contours of the keli, but it's more about whether the bishul goes away. In other areas of halacha, there's a distinction between lach and yavesh based on what they taught me in elementary school. In hilchos challah, there's a difference between the blila ova and the blila raka. And there the distinction is, does it take on the shape of the container? But in hilchos Shabbos, Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying, you know what, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that ketchup is called a davar lach at all, because it remains, the cooking remains in the food even afterwards. In Rav Rimon's Sefer, on page 262, he deals with this issue to some extent. There's another question about how my magdir lach and yavesh, in the sense of, let's say I have a tiny bit of moisture on top of something which is otherwise solid. There is a question. The Beis Yosef seems to contradict himself, but in both places he's quoting Rabbeinu Yerucham. In Simen Reish Nun Gimel and Reish Nun Ches, the Beis Yosef quotes that according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, you follow Rov. If Rov of the item is yavesh, it's yavesh. If Rov of the item is lach, it's lach. That would mean that a few drops is not a problem, because Rov of the item is yavesh. However, the Beis Yosef in Shin Yod Ches, quoting the same Rabbeinu Yerucham, says that we don't follow Rov, and any amount of lach is considered lach. Now, when I say any amount, we'll have to define that more precisely. But there is a stira in the Beis Yosef B'Shem, the Rabbeinu Yerucham. One of the nice things about Rav Rimon's Sefer is Rav Rimon says, you know what, listen, look in the way in the Rabbeinu Yerucham itself. The version of the Rabbeinu Yerucham that we have says that we do not follow Rov. The idea of following Rov is based on a mistaken girsa on the Rabbeinu Yerucham. In the Tshuvas of Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul and the Arlet Zion, he also says that's based on a mistaken girsa. Now, yesterday I gave like a whole aside about whether we use girsaos in the study of halacha or not. But what I'm saying today does not contradict what we said yesterday. Because even if I don't use Gersos in the study of Halacha, that means to establish the Halacha to begin with. But when I have a stira in the Beis Yosef, quoting the same source, so then I could be Machriya based on what I know the source actually says, based on the Kisvei Yad, or the better printed editions, etc. So, I don't think what we're saying now, but again, Rav Rimon on page 251, 252, he deals with this question. So do you follow Rov, or you don't follow Rov? That's a stira in the Beis Yosef. The Minchas Kohen, by the way, says that you follow Rov. Chacham Uvadi Yosef in the Chuvan Yechavadas and Chelek Beis Simin Memhei says you follow Rov. He says the Beis Yosef says this. What are you nervous about? There's a little bit of moisture there. Psikresha lo nichole, and you have the Aruch anyway. Chacham Uvadia is like Reb Simcha Zalig Abrisk. He can mamish come up with a cool out of anything. Okay, great. Most poskim, though, don't like this approach of following Rove. Not only is there a mistake in the Girsa, but the more modern poskim say a little different. What do they say? So the Mishnah Berurah and Se'if Katan Lamed Beis. The Mishnah Berurah says that what you have to do is you pour out the liquid, and then it's no longer lach. Now, that's really interesting. That's really interesting, because I know that when I pour liquid out, if I have, let's say, noodles, and the noodles were made, and there's a little bit of cooked water on the noodles, let's say. It could be a little different if it's uncooked water, but let's say there's a little bit of cooked liquid on it. So you try to get rid of it. You shake it out. You have a cup, your second cup of tea. So what you do is you shake it out. And then you're allowed to make tea again. And there's no problem of bishalach habishal, those few drops that remain after you shake it out. That's what the Mishnah Berurah in Se'if Katan Lamed Beis sounds like. Now what that means, though, is there's... you have to deal with significant accumulation. You empty the cup. After you empty the cup, there still is likely going to be some tiny drops that remain, some tiny residual drops. But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't concern himself with that. The Mishnah Berurah is concerned with significant accumulation. That's the way I say it. So you pour it out. If you see like a thin layer of cooked water at the bottom of the glass, pour it out. You don't have to dry the glass. You pour it out. Because what I'm worried about is a significant accumulation. A tiny drop, that's not going to be a problem for the Mishnah Berurah. However, the Alter Rebbe, has in the Siddur something called Hilchos Rabsa L'Shabsa. He has a few dinim that he feels people are nichshal in, and he decides it's important enough to include in the Siddur. You know, it's an amazing thing. The Siddur is probably, actually I'm not sure, the Bencher is probably the most used book in Judaism. The Siddur is probably a close second. The Siddur, the Alter Rebbe points out that there are certain things that people are nichshal in Shabbos. For example, if a fly ends up in the soup, so people make a mistake and they take the fly out with a spoon, says the Alter Rebbe, that's going to be an Isser Borer. You have to pour out the liquid with the fly in it. How that makes sense, you have to listen to some of the shiurim we gave on Borer in the past. But in Hilchos Rabsa L'Shabsa, the Alter Rebbe writes that any tiny drop is going to be a problem, and therefore, like that shita that the Shvisas HaShabbos felt was only done by this great tzaddik and going to Vatvask, or whatever it is, the Alter Rebbe in the Siddur says you should be mapping like this. Any tiny drop is going to be a problem. Now, of course, this is a little bit difficult. Because, it's difficult because, I'll tell you why. There's a discussion in the Gemara about cooking meat on Shabbos. Ruah meat. And the Gemara has a line that maybe tzricha milcha bishula kibisra datura. That ox meat only gets cooked in a kli rishon on gabei ha'esh, no other place. Ox meat, you can't cook in the kli rishon? Grand. But what about the moisture on the ox meat? Every piece of meat has a little, right, besides beef jerky. But every piece of meat has some moisture in it. Is there bishul on that? On that little bit of moisture?
According to the Alter Rebbe, how can you say that any tiny amount is a problem? The ox meat has a little bit of moisture in it. So how could it be that it's a problem? So you have to say some svaris, that maybe there's a difference between liquid that comes from a solid and liquid that came from a liquid, but those svaris are hard to hear. The sheet of the Alter Rebbe, I think, is not accepted l'halacha. My understanding is that most poskim follow what the Mishnah Brura says, where the Mishnah Brura says, listen, you know what? The Mishnah Brura says, listen, you have to be worried about significant accumulation. If it's significant accumulation, then it's a problem. If it's not significant, so then it's not a problem. You dump out the excess water in the cup, and then all is grand. Okay, Chevra. So once again, I thank you for listening. Tomorrow's Friday, as far as I remember, so there's not going to be shiur. Arye, yeah, have a quick comment? Yeah. Nachon. So chicken soup should be the same according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. I think no one is willing to be makel on chicken soup somehow. Not sure why, but people are willing to be makel on ketchup. That ketchup is called a yavesh. I'm not exactly sure why the same svara for ketchup should apply to chicken soup. Gabe Isaacs, yeah. Absolutely. Heter Gomor. And Chacham Ovadia Paskins this way. The Rabban Tzion Abishalom in his Tshuvah says, no way, you can't do that. But, yeah, absolutely. Because we do not concern ourselves with the miyot at all. Okay, gentlemen. Again? Correct, absolutely. In other words, there's much more room to be make on this according to the Ramah, especially if I'm a prima godem Rev Moshe Feinstein Chazonish Jew that the Ramah fundamentally holds ein b'shalach b'shal b'alach. Absolutely. But even within the Mechaber, right, we can still question what's the difference between a lach and a yavesh by how much lach has to be there to become lach. Okay, Chevra, you should have a good Shabbos. Thank you for listening. Kol Tov.